because that's a very good possibility that can happen. But there is a good plan out there and a good opportunity we're just preparing for. And this is actually going to be one of six lessons I'm doing this week. But I'm excited about it, and I am humbled to be here, believe me. And I appreciate the opportunity to be here and speak to you guys. So I'm going to treat you like a bunch of high school kids tonight. Does that make you feel good? Pastor King said that would make him feel good. So I appreciate your time here. I want to discuss a little bit. I want to read you a verse here to begin with. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, it says, "As he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" And boy, have I missed the mark on that in my lifetime. And I'm here to tell you right now, I'm in my hometown, and you guys know a lot about me. And I have my faults, and I have certainly done that. And, God has brought me through to a place in my life now where I'm excited to get the opportunity to spread the gospel. And I've had a lot of good experiences and been under a lot of good people, Pastor John, of course, being one of them, and my old coach, Coach Morgan. And I didn't mean you're old. Just years ago. And God has been awful good to me, and I have failed him in many ways over the years, but God has given me many opportunities to get to witness to a lot of high school kids over the years, and I am grateful for that opportunity. It's kind of, I guess, been my niche where it's fell into my lap. I didn't intend my life to go that route, but that's the route it went, and I'm grateful for it. You know, people sometimes get surprised when they see a genuine, down-to-earth Christian. And those are sometimes few and far between and hard to find. One of those people that we're talking about here that's holy, really holy. And, of course, will never meet the standard of what Christ was. You know, he was the ultimate because he had no sin. And he lived on this earth as a man. So it does surprise people. And I know in my dealings with FCA, when we start talking to a team for the first time, oddly enough in this country, we have to talk about, is there really a God? And you cannot hit them with the gospel immediately because they would have no clue what you're talking about. Some would, but many don't. And you don't want to lose those. And I have to say, in this area, we are blessed. The teams that I have dealt with this year, I have had very few teams where any player didn't show up for the SCA event to speak, and they have listened, been a good group. We're blessed that way. It's not always that way. So we talk about that. I was actually at James Monroe last night, and we were up on top of the football field, and I was talking to these guys for the first time, this particular team, and I talked to them about, I said, you know, it's pretty crazy to think there's not a God didn't create this. And I was able to turn around. If you've ever been to that football field, Peter's Mountain is behind. It's the most beautiful view from up there on top of that football field. I said, isn't that amazing? And I told him, I said, you know, we ride sometimes up Zenith and go up to the top of that mountain. And we look down that valley, and my wife and I have many times. Unbelievable views. How could you say there's not a God created this? You know, it's craziness. And they kind of, you know, yeah, you're right. You know, they start figuring it out. And as we go along, we try to present that gospel. You are a whole different group. You are a church-growing group, a church member group. You've been in church most of your life, most everybody here probably, and as I have been. And a lot of times we see each other's faults, and we don't become good team members is what I call them. We'll talk to you like I'm a coach tonight, okay? We don't really become good team members to encourage sometimes, and sometimes even to come and talk to each other and say, you know, look, there's some issues. We just need to get it out and get it fixed, you know? And sometimes we have to take the time to do that because that's what a good team member is, and we're joining Christ's team. Christians get a misinterpreted by people because of the issues they see of our sin. and they like to hold us up to a standard. And they do not realize that we have to be saved just like they do because we're sinners. And even though we've accepted Christ and He took that sin, that doesn't make us perfect. But we are striving to be holy. The key to it is when we get to a point maybe where we do study and we do get better, we can't become hypocritical, pious, because that will run them off quicker than anything. And our goal is to be able to go out there and witness to others. So I'm going to challenge you tonight, just like I would if I was coaching. And I'm going to challenge you in a way to be holy and work on those things first, because we cannot, there is no way we can go out and be a witness until we are striving to become holy. And that's going to require some things. We're going to look at 1 John in chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. You know, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John deals a lot with truth and love. It's what those three books are really about, truth and love. And you don't have truth unless you have love. And you don't have love unless you have truth. And this, you know, is a great book right here to teach us those things. And I would like to read in 1st John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Whoever believes that Jesus Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves Him who begot also loves Him who is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and we keep His commandments. There's the key. That verse 2. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome to us. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? I'm going to give you an open book test tonight. And I have to admit, a great deal of this outline I stole, kind of. It was open to be used, okay? But the things that I studied around it actually was my study. So I didn't cheat in that way. There's five earmarks that we can see of a believer that we need to have. The first one is the faith test. The faith test. The second one is the life test. The third one is the love test. The fourth one is the growth test. And the fifth one is the sin test. And we're going to hit on each one of those tonight. And I'm not going to hold you over. Believe me, it's not going to take that long, okay? The first one we're going to talk about is the faith test. In 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 15, it says, whoever confesses that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God abides in him and he is in God. You know, the faith test, it's our doctrine. Is asking the question, is our doctrine in line with God's Word? You know, what we believe. There's a lot of people who like to adjust the Word to fit lifestyle. In this day and time, a lot of that, okay? And there is so much media out there of perceptions and attitudes, you can jump on board with a lot of things. And you can get carried away with something, it'll take you down the wrong path. And it's happening everywhere. Had a young man last week that we talked to, and he came forward and he wanted to be saved. And he told me, I said, have you ever made a profession of faith? Because he seemed to know a few things. And he said, yes. But he said, I've done so many things. And he started naming off the things he had done. And he said, I just don't know if I'm saved or not anymore. And I told him, I said, well, I can't really tell you that either. Only you'll know. But we talked about it. We sat down and we went through it. And I said, you got to make sure. That's just the bottom line. You got to make sure. If you have to do this 20 times, you got to make sure. But one of the things we talked about first was repentance. Repentance is the first step. You've got to realize you're a sinner. If you haven't realized, I've run across so many kids that have at some point in time prayed a prayer to ask Christ into their heart, but there was no turn. There was no recognition of their sin. And that's a scary thing. You can get in a zone where you think you're okay. And the scary thing about it, there's a lot of these kids that are church members. They go to church.
and they got caught into this trap where everything's okay because I go to church, or, you know, I have this family that goes to church or whatever. You'd be surprised at the coaches we get to talk to that's in this boat right here. I got to witness to one last week in that very boat, okay? And it's a scary thing to think that our world is that way, because most of us at our age know a whole different way of life in this country, of how it used to be and how God was honored in so many areas and not put down. There is such a battle going on that Satan is working on hearts. Repentance. You know, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slack in keeping his promises, as some count slackness. Instead, he is patient with you, not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance." We have to make that turn. And repentance is not just something that starts. It is something that starts. You have to have that before you ask Christ into your heart. You have to decide, I know I'm a sinner. You have to recognize that. And you have to turn from your sin. We all know that. The thing about it is, after we're saved, there's times where we drift, and we have to be careful, because we need to come back and repent again and again, because we sin. And we can get caught up in things so easily. Right here, first, worst. Okay? Believe me. And that is a great sacrifice. We ask kids when we're, you know, we're playing sports on teams, we ask them to sacrifice. Give up yourself. It's not about you. It's about the team. What are you going to bring? What do you bring to the team? And that's exactly everything we teach with sports that way. It so relates to Christ and Christ's team. Because you have to give up self, obviously. And a lot of times we get caught up in our selfish little things and our selfish little sins that carry us away. And we get on that path. You know, I was talking to a group the other day. We were talking about, one of them brought up about, you know, the narrow path and the wide path. And we were talking about that. And I was just thinking about it the other day. And I don't remember who it was, but I remember a sermon I heard one time. And the guy was talking about, and he had a board up here, and he drew with an arrow that path, that little line on that path. And then off of that, he drew little lines, a short line here and a little one here and a little one here. And they're still pretty close to the path, but they're not on the path. And the further out that line went, the further away from the path they are. And, you know, there's a lot of people. Dan's been talking about that. We talked about it in Hebrews last week in that verse. People have the knowledge, but it's not real. And they're not on that path. They're close to it. They can see it. They can see the people on the path. But they're in the briars, and they're going deeper into the briars. And the deeper they go, the less they're going to see. And we see that in our country right now. And I remember that a pastor talking about that, and it had to have been 30 or 40 years ago, some, you know, that I remember seeing that. But it popped into my brain. I was thinking about it. You know, in Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, it says, "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Repentance is a big key, and it's that faith test that we have to come to. You know, have we really, and at the point of salvation, I'm convinced there's a lot of church members that are unsaved. We're seeing that a lot. And we have to question, number one, have I repented from my sins? Because I think that's the question. If you never turn from sin, and I know most all of you in here, and you're probably not fitting this boat, but I'm going to get to a larger picture here with this, okay, and the challenge of it. You know, that true repentance has to happen. And we have to understand what a price Christ paid for us to have that opportunity to repent and turn from a place and a way that was going to send us to hell. That was a huge price he paid. He laid it all on the line for us. What a team captain. You know, God is the coach. Christ is the team captain. And he laid it all on the line, and he shows us what we can be. That's what being holy is all about. Not adjusting God's word to fit our lifestyle. And Dan has been talking about, you know, the apostate world that we live in. And we see that everywhere. And it's difficult. But it's so easy to get caught up into the little things that can wiggle into our life. You know, our thinking can become clouded so easily through so much media, music, TV, computers, phones. And the sad part is, kids are using these things that do not have the maturity to understand. And the sad thing is, the adults don't have the maturity either. And they're getting caught up into things that are leading them into sin, and they think they're okay because of maybe something they said. They think they're okay right now, life's okay. There has to be repentance constantly. We have to take that check. And we have to do that faith test. Where truly is our faith? And, you know, this apostate world is difficult to live in, but it's important for us that we keep a holy life in the midst of this. The second test is the life test. How do we live every day? What's our mindset? We challenge kids when we're talking to teens, and coaches love this kind of stuff, about what is your mindset? You know, what are you focused on? Are you loose, or are you really focused on executing the game plan? You know, that's what Christ asks us, how are we following the game plan? This word right here is the playbook of it all. It's all in there, and we will never totally comprehend. I used to tell kids would play for me, I'd say, I'm in search of the perfect game. I'm in search of the absolute perfect game. And I'm going to tie this together a little bit with the fact that practice is the key. Practice is the key. Now, we as Christians, you know, it tells us in 1 John 5:2-3, we keep His commandments. That's the key. And you cannot keep His commandments if you don't know the playbook. You have to have the Word. And we challenge ourselves every day with our thinking, what we do. What is truly the most important thing that we think about every day to us? What is our most important ideas that pop in our head? What is our goal for this day? You know, our goal has to be about who we can witness to this day. It really has to be that. That's what Christ commands us to do, to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. And, you know, there's people that's really hard to witness to. You could witness to people I couldn't witness to. It's pretty easy for me to go in a bunch of high school kids where I've coached all these years, and I can fire them up, and I can get to them talking about sports, and I can relate it, and we can go right at it, you know. And I can do that because that's what I've been around. You have a realm that you can go in and do the same thing because of the contacts and where you've been and who you are. But our key is we've got to be that witness, the life test, our everyday life, our everyday thinking. And in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17, it said that Christ came to fulfill the law, which Dan's been talking about. And that struggle of trying to live that kind of life is not about, you know, keeping a certain law. Reading this book is allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us, to walk a certain way and create the mindset that we need every day to keep our minds clear and to resist sin and fight it. We can't fight that on our own. It will not happen. If we do not get into this word, we don't have it. It's the playbook. It's what we've got to follow. And 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As Christians, we have the opportunity to step back and say, okay, I haven't been playing for the team. I haven't been doing what I really need to do. And I've got some sin in my life that I've played around with and I've toyed with, and it's bringing me down. But it's not going to happen until we get real with ourselves. You know, we talk to these guys and we talk about, you look in your heart. You know, do you really care about your teammate? Do you really care about your coach and the team you're playing for? My goodness, there's no greater team than right here and what Christ did for us. We have to think about, when our mindset, what we do and who we are, where we're really at. We can say a lot. I can stand up here and say a lot of good words. I can say a lot of things that might sound like I'm a really good person. I fight the battle every day. and you fight the battle every day. But we've got to be willing to come clean with ourselves and get true, because this world is full of sin, and it's everywhere. It is rampant. It is amazing what these kids, some of the stories they tell me. I mean, it's unreal. You would not believe some of the things, some of the homes these people have and where these kids are coming from and what they do and think it's okay. Satan has blinded them. There is an opponent. And he is slick, and he is cunning, and he is sly, and he is going to throw at you everything. And we talk to these kids about this mindset, this life set. Before you do anything, think about how you're going to react in a situation. Think about any situation. I remember in coaching, we used to talk about any situation that could come up in that game, we're going to practice to where we know exactly what we want to do before it ever happens. You know, you can't go out and play a sport and coach on the fly or play on the fly and think, okay, I'll make that decision when I get there. But people live their lives like that every day. You've got to get the playbook. You've got to think about how you're going to react when you meet that person or if you're in this situation, and how you're going to react to that and what you're going to do when you're faced with that. When a person, with these kids, we talk about when a guy asks you to come to a party, we're going to have, you know, we're going to drink some, man, this is going to be fun. And we challenge these kids with that. How are you going to react? Are you going to fall in and it's going to carry you right down? You know, that's the things we talk about. And many other issues just the same way. But the sad part is there are people getting caught up in multitudes of sins that are way beyond this, that are adults, people that are church members. And it's a scary thing. We have to wake up. We are in the time. It's there. I think Paul is looking for it. Sure, we know that the rapture can happen in any day. I think the only difference that we have right now is the worldwide media and the connections that we have worldwide. You know, at no other time in my life have I ever looked for the rapture like I do now. And I think about it a lot. And yesterday I was looking up in the sky. I was playing golf, and I was looking up in the sky and just kept looking up, and I was thinking, you know, man, what if the rapture happened right now, you know? Wouldn't it be awesome? Wouldn't it be great to be taken out of this sin-filled world? It would be an awesome thing. And that's because I was playing golf so bad, that's why. That is true, but that wasn't why I was looking up to do that. You know, we've got to be looking for that, and it's an important thing. This is our life test. Sometimes we harbor hate for another Christian or for another person. We like to find things, and we can get stirred up with that in the news media, can't we? It really gets us stirred up either way. And that can be our focus. And that focus is not the right focus. You know, lust, lies, cheating, stealing, unforgiveness to others. And, you know, there comes a point in time where you may have a bad teammate. And the key is, you know, you're not going to cut that guy off. You're going to go to him and say, all right, man, let's get it together. We're going to make this happen, me and you. You know, that's what you do on a team. And that's what we got to do as Christians. We got to help each other. We got to encourage each other. And that requires a word that I used in coaching so many times, discipline. And I'm going to give you my personal definition of discipline. You make yourself do something you don't want to do because you know it's the right thing to do. And that's what I pass to kids all the time. It's not easy. You got to get tough. It's hard. And it takes reading the word, praying lifestyle. That's the only thing that's going to get you to where you need to be with that discipline. And it's a dedication that goes with that too. And I've got a little lesson that I use with discipline and dedication. We use these little things, C, 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 D, D, D. You know, we line up something, we give them to think about these words. And we pass it on. And it takes backbone. It's not an easy thing to do, to stand up and really honestly be honest with ourselves. I'm not talking about being honest with anybody else. You can't be honest with anybody else until you get honest with yourself. Where is sin in our lives? Being real with ourselves. And 2 Timothy 3:16, one verse, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. Now, we know we're not going to be perfect, but there is a point where God is really happy with where we're at and what we're doing. And if we're striving to do that, that's the key. It's a mindset, and we've got to get the mindset. The third thing that we're going to look at quickly here is the love test. And in 1 John chapter 4, in verses 7 through 11, "Beloved, let us love one another." You can flip there because we're close to it, chapter back. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Here's an earmark of a Christian right here. Love. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. If God is real in us, that love's going to show. And this love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. We expect God to love us in a way that we don't want to show love. You know, it's hard to love some people. I know I'm a hard person to love. You know, some of us are harder to love than others, right? Let me tell you something. God loves us no matter what. Goodness, I am so appreciative that God loves me like He does. And He allowed me an opportunity to be saved, to be here, to be in this church, to have the life I have. I've gone to this church my whole life, 9 months before I was born. I kid about that. I came to church here 9 months before I was born. And I am blessed to have been here with the people that's here, that's put up with me and my sin. And I can't tell you how humbled I am to even be standing here, and I mean that to the core. But we have to get real with that love thing. Loving our brothers and sisters. You know how a brother and sister, I got a sister here tonight. I could say things to my sister, and I mean, we might get into it a little bit. Honestly, we probably never have. She has been the greatest sister. You just don't know. Now, me and my brother, we can get into it. Me and him can get into it. But the whole time after we got into it, we still love each other, and we know we're going to work it out. It's all right. We'll make it through, and we go on. We get it done. You know, sometimes we have those situations with a brother or sister in Christ, and we have to come up with that love, that real love that Christ, and you can't do that unless you realize how much God loved you. In the midst of all of our sin, God loved us and sent His Son. And I know this is a Christian group, but I don't think this is something that we need to be reminded of constantly. I think. I do. That's why I'm talking about it. And I felt like that's what the Holy Spirit wanted. I prayed a lot about this, about what to speak about. I asked Dan to tell me what to speak about. He said, whatever you think. So I prayed a lot about it. And I felt like this is something we need with this group. You're a great bunch of people. You really are. But I know you're like me, and you deal with certain things, and we got to come clean. We got to get real in this day and time. We got to be ready. What if the rapture occurred? Where would we be? You know, where would our hearts? Where are our hearts really? And where are we at in these tests? That love test. We have to look in the mirror. We got to be careful about what we say, what we do with other Christians. We get critical sometimes. We're guilty of things. We'll say something. And then you've got to catch yourself and you're like, good grief, I'm running my brother down. You know, I'm running my sister down. We can't do that. We can't do that. We've got a heart problem when we do that. We've got to go repent. Repent again. That's what we got to do. And first, like we said in 1 John 1:9, studying the Word and understanding that through prayer. The fourth one is the growth test. Are we overcoming sin more and more in our life? 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? There is no way to overcome sin in any other way unless we have repented and we are truly looking to Christ and we have handed it all over to Him. And that's every area of our lives. We can't hide these little corners. We can't keep them in our life because they're going to come back. They're going to pop up. They're going to grow. And they're going to bring us down. And they're going to cause a problem with us in our witnessing and being able to have a testimony. There's no greater testimony. We can speak a lot of good words. There's no greater testimony than a person who lives the Christian life. There's no greater teammate than that teammate who lays it on the line and you look over there, and we talk about this with the kids. You look over there and you know. You look in his eyes and you see the fire. You see it's real in his eyes. There's no greater feeling when you're on a team to know you've got a teammate like that. You know, we're like that right here as Christians. We can look in each other's eyes and know you're with me. Together we're going to make this happen. Let's get it. You know, and that's what we do. That's what we have to do as teammates for Christ. The world comes up with a lot of excuses for us in this area. Excuses to sin. This is one of them. You don't know what I've been through. I've said that. No, you don't know what I've been through, you know. God knows. He's the only one that matters. That's number one. Another one, oh man, it is so hard. And I hear kids talk about that. Man, it is so hard. Well, you can say that, but Jesus Christ didn't have it hard. Were we ever in that kind of situation? We have no idea. We see the physical suffering. We know the beatings and the physical suffering Christ did. We do. But we have no comprehension of what He did on that cross when He took the weight of sin, what that was. I don't think we will never know the comprehension of that maybe until we get to heaven. What He really did when He took the weight of that sin and He bore it. And the fact that we've spit in His face, we have done things to Him, and He still loved us. Man, that is an awesome thing. It's an unreal thing. The next one I wrote down here was, I'm going to do that at some point in time. I'm really going to commit at some point in time. I know what I've got to do, and I'm going to do it. Right now. You never know when the Holy Spirit is going to come back to give you that opportunity when He's challenging your heart. When He gets into your heart and He starts challenging you about something that's going on in your life, and you say, okay, well, you push it off to the side or you don't get real with it. Folks, we have to get real right now. We have to get real right now. It's an unreal world that we're living in. And this growth part is so important. The last one is the sin test. The sin test. And we talked a little bit about just what we were talking about making the excuses. And Coach Morgan's been doing a study in Sunday school class, and it's the spirit self tug of war thing. You know, we're battling this tug of war thing with the Spirit of God, and we don't want to let up on that sin. You know, we deal with a lot of kids with anxiety. There's a lot of people out there with anxiety. I believe Satan is the author of anxiety, and I believe that the Word can cure that, but it has to be a strong dose of that Word medicine. This is the medicine for it. A lot of doctors give drugs, and I'm not putting anybody down. If you've got issues and you're taking things, I understand sometimes you have to deal with that, but I'm a firm believer that no matter what you're taking or what you're doing, you better get in this Word if you've got those issues. It's the only thing that'll cure you. It is the answer for every problem we have. It's so important that this is where the discipline thing comes in again. The determination to discipline yourself, to do what you know you got to do. And because I coached, man, I had to come clean with myself so many times about this in my personal life. I'm asking a kid to, you know, lay it on the line and be determined you're going to discipline yourself to do what you're supposed to do here. And then I wasn't doing it even with God, who's the most important thing in my life. He is number one. He is the one that saved me, that I can go to heaven. And He suffered for me. How much of a fight do we put up? How much are we determined that we're going to fight Satan and we're going to fight sin? We're going to do our lives and clean up our lives like we need to. We really need to. I'm going to challenge you tonight with some self-discipline. Those are the things that come along on a team. You have to learn to self-discipline yourself. You have to make yourself go to practice to become the player you want to be when it's game time. And I remember when I was actually playing years ago, and a lot of the guys didn't like going to practice. They knew what Coach Morgan was going to do to us with suicides at the end of practice. It wasn't fun. I got to where I enjoyed it. I took it as a competition. That guy that was running that pro sprint, I wanted to be first on every one of them. It got to be where it was fun to practice. Did you know that the Word of God's like that? Once you start really getting into it, studying this Word, and you realize the love of God, daily study of this Word gets to be fun. And that's what practice is all about. And then when game time comes, and we got to face that person, we got to be the witness, man, we're ready. We're ready for game time. And we got to be ready for game time, because the big game is when we go up in the rapture, we're going to face God. The one that loved us so much that He sent His Son. I'm going to ask you tonight, we're going to pray, and this is what I'd like to do. And I thought about this, and I prayed about this. I'm going to ask you to be a Florida State fan, and you grab the spear, and you stick the spear in the ground, and you say tonight, right where you're at, in prayer, we're going to pray, I'm going to make change. I know some things I need to change. I know some things I need to change. And I know we all got that, because you're just like me. And I'm going to ask you to do that tonight. If the Holy Spirit's working on you and you're thinking about, man, I need to deal with some things in my life. I've not really laid it on the line like I need to. Tonight, make a determination that you're not just going to say that and do that here. Make it real to God and say, I am going to do it. It's going to get real with me tonight, right here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the opportunity to be here. And Lord, I cast my spear. And I thank You that You love me so much, that You died for me. And God, I just pray as a church tonight, out of this group, we can become the leaders on this team. And we can be the witnesses. And we can be the great teammates to each other that we need to be. And God, we just ask for Your blessing upon us this night. We pray that You guide us and direct us in every area. Lord, keep us from sin. Help us to be holy like You want us to be. Give us the strength and help us to realize we can only do that if we're going to practice. We're going to pray and we're going to get in Your Word and we're going to learn what it's all about. And God, I just hold this night up to You and ask that this will be a night for all of us, that we can remember that we need to really lay it on the line. We stuck our spear in the ground and we're not going to budge to Satan. We're going to hold our ground. And Lord, we're going to look to You. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you. And I appreciate you putting up with me. And I am humbled for the opportunity to be here, believe me. Thank you. Thank you.